where all of the schools came together, and we all sat in like these huge rooms where there were like 45 other people with who had the same problems that you had been researching for like the past month and a half, and you discussed them. And in 10th grade, I absolutely hated talking in front of people. Like, I hated it so much. And so I went to the first day of Model United Nations, and one of my, so seniors in schools basically acted as like part of the people who called on people, like part of the delegation basically. And so there was a senior that knew me in my group. Okay. And he was like, "Luke, tomorrow I'm going to make you talk because you didn't talk today." And I was like, "No, no, no, please don't." He's like, "Yeah, yeah, it'll be good. Like, you're going to talk." And that made me so terrified. And so the next day, I was like, "Mom, I don't want to go to school tomorrow." And because thinking she would be like, "Oh, yeah, that's fine. Like, what do you want to do?" And but my mom was like, "Oh, no, this is really important for you to go to." And I was like, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, I really think this is a really good opportunity for you to, you know," and she laid out all these various things. She's like, "Yeah, and your teacher emailed me and he said like all of this stuff is really important." And I was like, "Why did my teacher do that?" You know?
When you hear your teacher is emailing your parents, or your parents are emailing your teachers, you're like, "Oh!"
I was like, and this was one of my favorite teachers too. And I was like, "Why would he email my mother?" Yeah. So I remember being in the car because my mom took me to the bus stop in 10th grade. And it's like this 15-minute drive to the bus stop. And I was like, trying to convince my mom the whole bus ride. I was like, "Mom, please don't let me go. Please don't. You don't understand how horrible this will be. He's going to make me talk and I won't know what to say. And like, I'll sound horrible." And my mom was like, "Look, you'll be fine. You're going." And we were sitting, we were early to the bus stop. And so we were like sitting in the parked car and I was like crying. And I was like, "I'm not going. I'm just going to get off the bus and go somewhere different in Jackson." And just like being absurd about going. But I got on the bus and I put my headphones on and started listening to music because I had, like, still, like, 45 minutes to process this whole fact that I still had to go. And I got there, and, you know, the whole day happened. And you were there for, like, 8 hours, too. So it was 8 hours that you could talk. And the person, the senior who was in my group, his name was Matt, he, of course, called on me. And I spoke because I had to. I wasn't just going to be like, "No." but I spoke and he called on me like, okay, you only have to call on a person once, but he called on me like 5 times during that day. And I was so mad. And then, but the day eventually ended and I went home and I like wouldn't talk to my mom. She's like, "Luke, how is it?" And I was like, "No." And I went to bed that night. But I remember just like on the bus ride in the beginning of the day being like, "This is the worst day. I will never speak to anyone again." So yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I love about your story is that it doesn't have like a happy ending. It's not like, well, I mean, maybe, okay, I guess I could phrase this differently, but like, do you look back on it and feel, I don't know, I feel like with a lot of stories about teen angst, they're framed as like, "I didn't want to do something and then I did it and I was a better person because of it." But I, like, do you feel any of that or no?
Oh no, I am still, like, I do not think it helped me in any way to go to that event. Like, I don't think I've learned anything. If anything, it made me, like, worse, even more scared to talk in front of people because it just, like, heightened that emotion.
Yeah. It sounds very emotionally charged and, like, hard.
Yeah.
But one of those things that you, like, bring up with your mom and you still are like, "I'm mad at you for that."
I haven't brought it up at all. I wonder what she would say if I did bring it up. Yes. It'd be really funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Have you ever, you've never had another moment with your mom where you were like, I don't want to go to school, and she was like, "You should"?
No, that was the weirdest thing about it, too. That was the only day in the history of my whole, literally, school experience that she's been like, "No, you need to go to school." Wow. Because, like, I think she knew that I really liked school, and that if I didn't want to go, there was a reason for it. But usually it was just like, "Mom, I've done the homework, like, there's no need for me to." Or, like, I wouldn't be learning anything if I went.
Right.
She'd be like, "Yeah, that's fine." But this, it seemed, maybe to her it seemed like I would be missing something and she knew that I wasn't going for this specific reason, mm-hmm. and that, like, I would have learned something, like, maybe about speaking in front of people, or, like, mm-hmm. that she forced me to go, but,
yeah. Also, something that's interesting about this is that it's, like, your mom and this senior both had this idea of what would be good for you, and you were like, mm-hmm. no, it's not good for me.
Right.
And it's just interesting that they felt like they had an authority over, like, what would mm-hmm. be productive and good for you.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really interesting to think about. I mean, I think parents a lot of times do have that idea, especially when you have young children. You know, you have these certain ideals, and, mm-hmm. like, when raising your child, that you think this will be good for your children. But I wonder, like, at what point does that change in your child kind of knows for themselves, right. you know? Because I think there's, like, definitely a balance between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you feel about public speaking now, as I say on our radio station?
But
with two listeners.
Yeah. I still am really, really nervous speaking. In fact, I was just talking to my sister about this, but, like, last semester in class, I rarely spoke in my classes, and I don't know why it was, but this semester I'm speaking in every single class, and it's, like, the easiest thing for me. But, like, I think it's really important to, like, talk in front of people and do speeches and stuff, and I actually really, especially speeches, I really like doing that, but I'm still so nervous to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But I think people should. Or yeah. if I should, at least.
Yeah. I feel like what's also interesting about, like, these sort of situations that happen in general, and also especially when you're a teenager, is it's like, I understand your mom's perspective as well.
Oh, yeah. Me,
like,
too.
Like, I understand it completely, and I understand your perspective, and, yeah. like, understand that you didn't gain anything from it, and, like, looking back, it's like, my life would not have
yeah.
been improved by.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that's just what's so complicated about this, like, being a teenager, is it's, like, there are all these things that on paper are probably good for you, but, like, you don't want to do it that way.
Yeah.
And your feelings make complete sense, too.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
What do you do?
It is so complicated. It yeah. really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing.
Of course. Thanks for listening. Yeah. So, my song.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, do you know how do I pronounce? Do you know these names?
Bell.
Bell? It's just Bell?
Sebastian, yeah.
Okay. And then?
Piazza?
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 I don't know. Okay. Either way. So the night before this, the night that happened at Model United Nations, I watched Juno. And I loved it. And this song is in the Juno soundtrack. And so when I got on the bus that morning, I played this song first. And yeah, so it just reminds me.
It's an angsty sad song.
Yeah,
it is.
All right, here we go.
With me, Miss Private, and we'll sail around the world. I will be your Ferdinand, and you my wayward girl. Many nights of talking in hotel rooms can you take? Many nights of limping round on pagan holidays. Oh, elope with me in private, and we'll set something ablaze. A trail for the devil to erase. San Francisco's calling us, the Giants and Mets will play. Piazza, New York, catch your eye, you straight or are you gay? We hung about the stadium, we got no place to stay. We hung about the Tenderloin, and tenderly you tell about the saddest book you ever read. It always makes you cry, the statue's crying too, and Willie May. I love you, I've a drowning grip on your adoring face. I love you, my responsibility has found a place. Beside you in strong mornings in the guise of gentle words. Come wave upon me from the family, why don't it absurd? You'll take care of her, I know it, you will do a better job. Maybe, but not what she deserves. Elope with me, Miss Private, and we'll drink ourselves awake. We'll taste the coffee houses and the award certificates. A privy seal to keep the feel of 1960 style. We'll comment on the decor and we'll help the passerby. And at dusk when work is over, we'll continue the debate in a borrowed bedroom, virginal and spare. The catcher hits for 318 and catches every day. The pitcher puts religion first and rests on holidays. He goes into cathedrals and lies prostrate on the floor. He knows the drink affects his speed, he's praying for a doorway back into the life he wants in the confession of the bench. Life outside the diamond is a wrench. I wish that you were here with me to pass the dull weekend. I know it wouldn't come to love, my heroine pretend. A lady stepping from the song we love until this day. He settled for an epitaph like Walk Away Renee. The sun upon the roof in winter will draw you out like a flower. Meet you at the statue in an hour. Meet you at the statue in an hour.
So yeah, that was the song.
It's so great.
And it was the first song, and the rest of these songs of the playlist I listened to during that bus ride too. Oh. And I was just like, I hate people for making me do this.
Nice. Yeah. There's something very specific about, like, I hate everything and everyone.
Yes. Yeah. It was exactly like that. So do you think that's teen angst, this story?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I think it's, like, especially, like, your mom wanting you to do something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, having to go to school, being on a bus with headphones, like, so angsty. Yeah.
Sweet. Are you ready to tell your story?
Yeah. I feel like I have a good transition.
Ooh, yay. Okay.
Well, it's not a great... You know what? Just going to do it. Oh, also, if Mari's listening, shout out to Mari.
Yes, we love you, Mari.
We do love you. Great rehearsal tonight. Anywho, as I just mentioned about, like, the feeling of I hate everyone, I remember telling my high school boyfriend that if I ever said I hate everyone and everything, like, he shouldn't take it personally. Like, I was just like, it's just a way I express my feelings. Like, it doesn't mean you. I just really, I hate everything, you know?
That is hilarious.
But I'm going to sort of be talking about
him. Realize, honestly, sometimes I still say that. I'm like, I hate everyone and everything. Like, this is horrible.
Yeah, it's quite the mood. Yeah,
really
I wanted to do more, but I had to do homework. I did a lot of reading old diaries in order to prep for this, and there was one entry where I, like, just scribbled very large on the page, like, I hate everyone and everything and myself, and, like, it's all, yeah, and it just was like, whoo, okay, yeah, I was there. I was there.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. Okay, so... been trying to figure out what teen angst is this week, and I already named some of the things my friends had called teen angst, but something that I was thinking about is that for me, a lot of it was, like, wanting to be a figured out full version of myself and not feeling there, and also wanting to be someone completely different, and also wanting to be, like, just being myself and hating it. And then also, like, the smart part of my brain, or not that the rest wasn't smart, but just, like, the more rational part of my brain being like, hey, it's important to love yourself. And, like, all of these things were going on at once, and it produced a lot. And I was trying to figure out if there was a specific time I wanted to talk about or a moment, but I then realized that a lot of these feelings that, like, feel angsty were reflected in my online habits.
Mm.
Specifically my use of Facebook Messenger.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think it's just interesting how the internet created a new way for teens to be angsty. And, like, it's a completely different teen angst, I think, has definitely changed, and, like, you can interact in a very different way than you were able to, you know, like,
absolutely.
30 years ago. And a lot comes out in a very different way that, like, might have been hidden or, like, I don't know, expressed in different ways.
Right.
So
a lot of my angst was expressed online, either explicitly or implicitly. So I think the way it, I mean, I used Messenger, Facebook Messenger before this, but what really started my avid use of the app, was when I started talking to Micah Chabowski, who was my, ended up being my high school boyfriend, and we would text.
Wait, what was his name?
Micah Chabowski.
I like that name.
Yeah, it's a good name.
It's a nice name.
Yeah. I was very scared to be in a relationship because I had a hard eighth grade, and like we were just, it was the summer before ninth grade, and I just felt really unhappy and I was scared to be in a relationship. So we were just like talking online a lot, and we got to know each other. We knew each other through school, but, and like taking the train together in the mornings and stuff, but we really got to know each other online and like developed a relationship online, even though then we like ended up seeing each other every day, taking the train to school together and stuff.
Okay.
But it was a really like special feeling of like getting to know someone online and falling in love. And after a while, even when we like became, our relationship solidified, I often in high school would crave that feeling again of like getting to know someone online.
Interesting.
Like having someone to text consistently every night.
Yeah.
And to like ask them how they're doing, how their day was going, and then like also be able to say how I was doing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think especially just to like, it felt like a way where even when I was apart from people and I was feeling anything, I could ask them questions about those feelings. Like, hey, do you feel this way too ever? Or like, and it could be something very deep or it could be something very silly. But it was this way to like, I don't know, have an outlet for my observations and like analyses of my feelings and all these things. But what's really, what I have like reflected on and was somewhat aware of at the time was that I was especially interested in having these conversations with boys. Okay. And I think partially because like with the girls in my life, I was able to have those deep conversations in person, and like those relationships were often formed in person. And then like we would then text on Messenger and it was great, but there was something specific, like I never felt like I could be that intimate with boys in person. High school. Like there wasn't, either they wouldn't, like I didn't feel comfortable, or they wouldn't show that emotional side of themselves because of like toxic masculinity and like socialization, the socialization that like masculine people experience. So I just like have all these different people who I texted and I like had either very lengthy texting relationships with, and like some of these people were people I would interact with every day, and some of these people were people I'd like never met but had some connection to. Like I'll give examples. So like one was Micah Chabowski, who I then had a 2-year relationship with. And then another was a friend who I like developed a very deep relationship with very quickly. We definitely both had crushes on each other.
Okay.
His name is Noah. It's not Noah I'm dating, but a different Noah. And it was confusing. Like, I didn't really understand that you can like feel things for multiple people at one time. And figure that out, you know?
Yeah.
There was that. And then I was also, for a very brief period of time, I was texting a 21-year-old who was like, who used to play video games with my guy friends.
Oh.
And he lived in like Portland, and he was very weird and creepy. And but I just wanted that friendship. Like I desired that like relationship so badly.
Yeah.
I don't know, like people in my class, people who are my friends, like it was a lot of six different people throughout high school. And yeah, I often, when I would meet new people, when I would meet new guys, I would just envision like what it would be like to text them every day. Like that was
so interesting.
Yeah. It felt, and I think a large part of it, which is like, is that I felt a desire to take care of these boys and men in a way that, like, I also feel and felt for women, but it was, I mean, it's very gendered and, like, just, I wanted to, like, fix them and, like, get them to be emotional and hear their emotions and wanted them to also ask me questions and care. And it usually, like, ended up being really weird and unhealthy because I, like, needed them in weird ways that weren't healthy. And, like, I wanted this friendship online that, like, other people didn't want, and I would feel sad if they didn't reciprocate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot, I think it's just, like, there's something so interesting about the angst that plays out when you're alone. Like, the feelings you feel when you're alone, and then being able to, like, have a way to ask a friend about it, and then, like, feel angsty with them, or, like, maybe you're, like, talking to them about something completely different, but you're feeling, like, shit, or, like, whatever, and it just, yeah, it's very, like, I feel like I could really return to, when I was looking at old texts, also doing research, I was, like, yeah, this feels so familiar. Like, I can imagine sitting at my desk doing homework while texting this person, or, like, I don't know, being on the way to dance class, or, like, having just gotten drunk with my friends and, like, it's 2 a.m. and everyone else has gone to sleep and I'm, like, texting this boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think, and also another thing I realized about myself is that angst for me was, like, I felt, I understood my feelings in a way that I think was maybe unique. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to talk about them with people and hear other people's feelings and, like, observe and analyze. And I was able to do that online with people in a way that I wasn't able to always in person. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I could extend what I did in person online.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what I feel like I have other stuff, but I don't remember, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was all wonderful and very interesting.
Yeah.
Gosh, I had, like, a million questions at every sentence, but I will ask some of them that I remember. Okay, so one thing you mentioned at the beginning what it made me think of is how in my high school and, like, eighth grade experience, how I hated having conversations with people online or, like, over Messenger. Mm. And I think that's mostly because, like, the inflection was lost.
Mm. Yeah.
And I felt like I couldn't, like, they would read this, but they would have no idea how I felt when I said that. I'm wondering, just, like, did you feel like that was lost during your conversations? And, like, did that affect you at all?
Sometimes there would be, like, miscommunications, but I feel like we would use specific tactics to, like, add personality to it, which now looking back I, like, cringe at because they're weird.
What, it's like, what are they like?
I don't know, like misspellings or, like, different ways to say haha or, like, I don't know, just, like, using language in slightly weird ways to show if, like, it's a joke or, like, if you're being ironic or I don't know, things like that.
Yeah,
like, there was a lot of humor that I was using, but it was, like, online humor, which is really different than in-person humor.
Yeah.
Or not that different. It's, like, trying, it's just trying to transfer in-person humor. And this, like, sort of incomplete, or, like, this complex persona that's not fully myself. It's, like, what I think this person might find cool and interesting and, that's like, will fix all of his problems, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so I'd never worried about that much.
Okay,
like,
interesting.
I was interested in what they were saying, and, like, if I had a question, I would ask it, because it was mostly me just asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And these boys, like, either giving one-word answers and me being, like, just asking more questions to try to keep them, get them to continue talking, or them giving very long paragraphs where I would, like, help them work through their shit.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so another thing this made me think of is how during my story that I told, at the time, I think I knew that I was being, like, completely irrational. And I was like, but I continued to be like, no, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm wondering if you and I guess generally during like these teen angst mm-hmm. periods, if you know during that moment that you're being like irrational, or if you are at all, or if you don't, and then you know now, or like how that played out during this mm-hmm. period.
I feel like I definitely knew the majority of the time and felt like slightly embarrassed, but the feelings were still really real. So if I was like yelling at like my family, or like, I don't know, or like I was feeling something strong and I decided to say it online or whatever, like I knew that there was part of it that wasn't, that might be regrettable, but I just didn't. The consequences either were interesting or I didn't care, or like they didn't seem worth considering in the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. But I also, like, that felt silly at times. I don't know. Yeah. It sort of felt like, I mean, teens, especially teen girls, are so, like, there's so much judgment around our feelings and, mm-hmm. like, trivializing our feelings.
Yeah.
So I definitely had some, like, I had internalized some of that, and yeah, but I also felt really aware that a lot of this stuff was real, like pretty early on. I was like, oh, all of us are going through a lot, and like we all have a lot to deal with, and like these feelings are really very real, and even when they would like come out in weird ways, this, like they all felt really real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which also I think was so hard, what made this so hard to pick like a thing to talk about was that I was like, but angst is silly, you know, and all of these things aren't silly.
Right. Exactly.
Which was hard to figure out.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I was thinking about that too. I was because I don't know. I've always, well, first off, I didn't think I had like, when I was thinking about this, I was like, I never had angst. Mm. I just didn't have teenage angst. And then I was like, wait, I had to though.
Yeah.
And I was reading this article online. It was like, everyone has had teenage angst. And I was like, so I must have. But no, yeah, that's really interesting to think about.
Yeah.
My last question before I hear your song. So you talked about this idea of like being alone and having teenage angst, which is interesting to me because I guess during this time you were alone, but on the other end there was someone else.
Yeah.
I guess how is that different for you than being with someone like in the same room, and how does that teenage angst sort of like materialize differently?
I just had a realization as you said that. Like, I feel like when I was younger, or like in the early stages of being a teenager, I was so, like, I desired so strongly a friend group where I could be with people and like almost be alone and just like be so comfortable that we weren't even, we were hardly interacting, and we were just like our full selves, like maybe like listening to the Smiths in a basement, you know, like cuddling. Yeah, that was my dream, like very explicitly was what I wanted. And I felt like we kind of, like that was the closest I could get to that being realistic for a lot of high school, was like we are all online at the same time, like doing our own thing because we have to, and we can't be at each other's houses right now because like either we're embarrassed of our houses, or like our parents wouldn't let us, or we have homework and like other things to do, and we don't live that close together. Like these things, you know?
Yeah.
But we still are like existing in this emotional, silly, entertaining, like sad space.
Yeah.
So it was, I don't know. It felt like a translated version of something I really desired. And when I'm also thinking about like group chats, that's a whole other conversation though, but like those group chats felt like that dynamic of being with people.
Yeah That makes sense. I think it's also like this like modern social media age, you know, where I think changed a lot of things for people, and like what being together means, and like the, I guess, the ways in which you can be together.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyways, you want to tell me about your song?
Yeah, so it's called Creature Comfort by Arcade Fire. And this is a song I found, I guess, when I was still a teenager, but I think right after I graduated high school, or maybe, I don't remember. But it just is, like, it feels very much about teenagers and, like, their unhappiness and very real problems. Like, it's a pretty upsetting, the lyrics are often upsetting and talking about really dark stuff, but this lyrics feel like what it's like to be online listening to, like, all of your friends' shit. Mm-hmm. And then, like, just hearing that and being like, wow, this is awful. Like, it's, like, we're going through a lot.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a loud song. And I like it. It's a good teen, like, it's a good song to think about teenagers, too.
Sweet. All right. I'm excited to listen.
Sure.
Yeah. That was so great. That was definitely like, woo! Yeah,
it's loud.
I like it though.
Yeah.
I could totally understand that being a teenage song.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like, I don't know. Again, I found it in the context of like sort of being on the end of my teen angst years and just being like, oh yeah, like you get it. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And how like interpersonal the suckage is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the rest of the playlist like, Eleanor?
Well, for me, it's okay. This is actually a really exciting playlist because okay. The Creature Comfort and a lot of other songs are like, I just am like, oh, I need to make a teen angst playlist.
Yeah.
Like, so all of the songs are very carefully curated. Okay. A like small selection of my like teen angst playlist that is in progress.
Wow.
So all of these songs are like very carefully selected where I like heard it and I was like, this is a perfect song for this playlist.
Oh.
And like, it's not enough just to mention the word teenager. It's a feeling. It's like talking. It's good, you know. And I cut out some good songs, so enjoy these.
Okay, great.
Yeah, good. And yours are ones from the bus.
Yes, they are.
Exciting.
Which I think I would definitely, if I were to make my teenage angst playlist, they would definitely be a part of it too. They weren't just like my bus ride songs. They were like, ah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited.
All right, enjoy, everyone.
Thank you.
people most.
I remember the first time I was in love. It was all the way back in 1997.
But I do have to have some job.
Loved you more than when we were hiding from the
sirens, oh, we laugh so hard. Threw up in your mother's azaleas. That was before we had made any terrible mistakes. spilt all over me.
Excuse me.
We hoped you enjoyed the playlist.
Yes, thank you for listening.
Yeah, you four listeners still. So we'll read you out
the playlist.
The playlist, yes. All right, so the first song was Piazza, New York Catcher by Belle and Sebastian.
Then Creature Comfort by Arcade Fire. Then That Year by Brandi Carlile.
Then Such Great Heights by The Postal Service.
Then Nostalgia by Mo. I'm not really sure how to pronounce the name, but Mo. Do you know how to pronounce that?
I don't either. I think it's like Mo.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. Then I Write Sins, Not Tragedies. Oh, wait. Did I miss one? Oh, no. I Write Sins, Not Tragedies by Panic at the Disco. Then Misery Business by Paramore.
Then Teenage Talk by St. Vincent.
Then I'm Sticking With You by The Velvet Underground.
And then last but not least, Ribs by Lord.
Yes.
What are we doing next week? We have an exciting theme.
It's a little weird, everyone, but we are excited about it. It is bathrooms.
Yep. We do a lot in there. We have a lot of memories. And also not that many memories. Because,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's very, you spend a lot of normal time in a bathroom, but then and special a lot things of weird happen. Time, yeah.
All right, so look forward to bathrooms, not next week, but the following week.
Yep, we have spring break.
Yeah, woo! All right, everyone, have a great night, you four listeners.
Yes, good night.
Thank you for listening.